I mean, I was told by my film professor, there are films and there are movies. And sometimes you've got to know what you're walking into.
Yeah. See, but I come from a time when movies were films.
Deadpool and Wolverine is coming closer and closer every single day. We're going to be getting Deadpool 3 here in July, and I really am just starting to get more and more hyped for this movie, not only because we're diving through all these old X-Men films and I'm kind of getting my love for this X-Men franchise just reinfused, but also, as of this recording, we have a new Deadpool trailer that came out, and it looks really cool. I wasn't that excited for Deadpool 3, but after seeing that new trailer, I definitely have been shown to be a fool because they are cooking, and I definitely can't wait for it. I've been waiting for this movie since I was a little kid, waited my entire life to see Deadpool and Wolverine on screen together, and it's finally happening. Over 6 years of waiting, and it's looking like it's going to be worth it. Now, as you know, if you've been listening to this series, we've been diving into every single X-Men movie. We already did Deadpool 1 back in February 14th. That was our Valentine's Day episode. We did Deadpool 2016. We did the first X-Men film, second X-Men film, third X-Men film. And today we're diving into X-Men Origins Wolverine. If you want to tap into any of those other episodes, they'll be down below in the show notes. I'll have all of them linked there so you can go listen to them. But today we're going into X-Men Origins Wolverine, a film that I've definitely been dreading. These past three, four movies have not been too good whatsoever. The first two, not so bad. The third one, pretty atrocious. But this one is very special because it's just really weird that this movie is that bad and it came out in this state. But before we start diving into X-Men Origins Wolverine from 2009, we had to take a little bit of a time machine way back to 2009. And let's just sit here in the context of this film coming out. As this movie is coming out, we already have had three X-Men movies. So it's a little bit of a bar that's been set for this film in terms of quality. We've already had The Dark Knight come out and Spider-Man 3 and Iron Man. The Dark Knight is one of the best films ever made and is definitely setting a bar here for this film in terms of quality. Spider-Man 3 is not the best film ever, but I think after rewatching it a little bit recently, Spider-Man 3 is still a solid Spider-Man story. It's just really crowded, has a lot going on, nothing really gets fleshed out, but Spider-Man 3 is still a solid flick. And also, Iron Man 1 came out during this time, Iron Man 1 being a really good movie, definitely a lot better than some people think. Now, X-Men Origins Wolverine, as you can see, definitely had a lot going for it and a lot of pressure to be a solid flick, and it definitely didn't live up to anything that's been set before it. But how did I feel about X-Men Origins Wolverine prior to watching it? Now, I can't really say that because this movie has been out for a really long time. It came out when I was like 5 years old, and I definitely have been watching it since I was like 5 years old. This movie was really playing on repeat on FX as my entire lifetime growing up. This is like the only thing that came on TV, really. X-Men Last Stand, Wolverine, X-Men Origins, and also like The Mummy was the only movies that ever really came out in terms of like FX cable. That's all that was showing ever, really. So those movies have a really big place in my heart. This film, no different. I really loved this movie growing up. It's not the best, like I said, but once again, just like with Last Stand, it has a place in my heart, and I really love it, really enjoy it, despite how bad it is, and I give it a really bad score, as we'll see later on in the episode, but I still definitely love this movie, regardless of the hate. It will always be that kind of movie for me, and it always is going to be really special for me. As for release and reception, this movie made $370 million against a budget of $150 million and fell into the number 11 spot for that year, which is the first movie in this franchise so far that has not ranked within the top 10 of that year, which is somewhat understandable seeing the quality of the movie. Definitely didn't get good word of mouth or reception. And also looking at this year, you had Transformers 2 and also Half-Blood Prince, Harry Potter, Up, and also this one little indie movie called Avatar came out this year. So that's pretty understandable. This film definitely had a lot of competition financially, so it's understandable. As for critics and Rotten Tomatoes, this film has a 38% critic score and a 58% audience score, which is the first time in this franchise where I can say, yeah, that definitely makes more sense. It's definitely understandable. This movie just didn't really sit right with anyone, clearly. Whether you're a critic, a comic book lover, or an audience lover, then this movie definitely wasn't for you, which is pretty upsetting. Roger Ebert, one of the greatest critics to really ever do it, gave this film a 2 out of 4 stars, which is really, in this series so far, I think one of the first times I actually can agree with him here. Roger Ebert wrote, "But wait, you say, doesn't X-Men Origins at least provide a learning experience for Logan about the origins of Wolverine? A hollow laugh is what I give. Because we know that the modern Wolverine has a form of amnesia, it cannot be a spoiler for me to reveal that at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine, he forgets everything that happened in the film. A very lucky man. I'll go ahead and leave Roger Ebert's full review down below in the show notes. Definitely a really solid review. I recommend you read really everything from him. He really doesn't miss. Over on Letterboxd, this film has a 2.3 out of 5 average. Definitely a really solid and understandable average. Letterboxd keeps it real sometimes. I have a review here from Onkar, a user on Letterboxd, who gave this film a 2 out of 5 stars. Onkar wrote, "Who decided to give this movie so much sauce and not decide to do anything with it? And that is one of the realest things I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm going to start to use that word sauce in like every single sentence that I ever say now. So thank you, Onkar, for that. But in terms of the review, I definitely agree with him here. This movie has a lot going for it. I don't know if it has a big budget. I mean, just judging based on what we see in the final product, there's definitely a lot that went wrong with this movie that you can really tell. They didn't really know what they were doing, and there was definitely a little bit of a mess here, and a lot of just misinterpretation and misunderstanding of how to go about making this movie, because clearly they didn't really know what they were doing or how to do it, and it definitely shows throughout the entire runtime. So that's really it in terms of our prologue for this episode. You know this movie isn't that good. I know it's not good. You know it's not good. Everyone who's seen it knows that this movie definitely underdelivered. So I'm not going to really go about this movie too much in our main feature presentation. I will, and I'll definitely have a lot to say about this movie. But something that I've learned recently is that movies really speak for themselves a lot of the time. So I don't really need to do too much that the film already hasn't said itself.
From the studio that nearly destroyed the X-Men franchise with The Last Stand comes the film that destroyed your favorite X-Men, Wolverine. Journey to 1970s Canada, where everyone dresses like it's 2009 and no one has a Canadian accent.
Guys, whatever this is, take it outside.
Okay, so let's just start this off here. Pretty quick here, we're going to go right to the opening. And the opening of this movie, I talk about in this series a lot of the time, the openings for these films have been pretty well done. And this movie is no different. The opening is really good for this movie. I definitely really enjoyed it. The opening really is almost gaslighting me into thinking this film is really good. And the opening is cool because it goes into us seeing a younger version of Wolverine and him really from a young age going through all this pain and trauma and just the pain of being who he is and having to kill his father in the opening shows that really pain and death follows him like a shadow wherever he goes. And that being said, the opening is really rushed and done in a not so good way, but what it's doing, not in terms of just how it's doing it, but what it's doing in the opening is done, I think, a really smart way, in a way that says so much without doing a lot whatsoever. Now, like I said, I think the opening is good, and it makes me second guess even really giving this film any kind of hate, because it's a solid opening. It does what it needs to do without doing a whole lot, and I definitely had thoughts in my head saying, is this film that bad? And I even thought to myself, this film may be a lot better than what I thought it was. And then about 5 seconds later, never mind. I was wrong. This movie is just stupid and bad and dumb. Now, right after that, I did just take away the flowers, but I'll give the flowers right back for one quick second. The opening montage of this movie is really cool. I think one of the best openings of the entire franchise so far. Seeing Wolverine and Sabretooth fight in every single war ever is a really cool touch to this movie. And something I want to bring up here is that we know that they're immortal somewhat, and they can live technically on paper forever in some way, over 100 years for sure, but if I'm going to be immortal, why would I fight in every single war ever? I mean, they fight in World War I, Vietnam, the Civil War. And my question to you is just why? If you're going to be immortal on paper and you have all these cool powers, I mean, why would I just fight for like every single war ever? It just seems kind of dumb, seems kind of stupid. I wouldn't really do that. That seems like a big waste of time. And I do get it, being immortal and living for like over 100 years, it's going to start to get boring at some point, but I don't think it would get that boring to where I would fight in a war. Unless I'm like flying an F-22 Raptor or like an F-35 or C-130, there's no reason for me to really fight in a war. Just saying. That's just me. Maybe it's just because of just the way I live life, but if I'm going to live for that long, why would I fight in a war? That's all I'm saying. On one hand, it definitely does make a little bit more sense because we do have Sabretooth in this film portrayed in a very different way The first time we saw him was in X-Men 2000, which was a more comic book accurate interpretation of the character, which is something that I definitely didn't remember and didn't really have that much of a lasting effect here. But Liev Schreiber in this movie as Sabretooth is really cool. He's so perfect in this role. And if he was my brother as Sabretooth in this movie, I would definitely fight in every single world war. That makes a lot more sense now, because Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth in this movie is just so cool. He's so raw. He's so fire. I love his fighting style. He just brings that kind of aura and that energy to the role that wasn't really done too well in the first one. And that's definitely a testament to just how good of an actor he is, because in the first movie, we had all this makeup, all this wardrobe, and all this extra stuff. In this movie, we have Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth pretty much just with a buzz cut and a just cloak, which is, in my opinion, not exactly the most accurate way to do it, but definitely a much more cooler way. Sometimes in movies, less is more, and the most simple solutions are sometimes the most creative and the best solutions. And in this role, in this movie, it's no different. Now, moving on a bit, there's a lot to love with this movie, from Sabretooth to the Wolverine opening and just origin of the character, but this movie is really fast, and on paper, I understand this movie being fast and this movie being an origins film, but at the same time, I start to ask myself in the beginning of this movie, why is this even happening? And now I understand, yeah, Logan, it's an origins film, just have fun with it, but I ask you, why are we having an origins movie to a character that has amnesia, who won't remember anything in this film whatsoever? So why should we care if they don't care or remember any of the events in this film? And it's understandable because, I mean, Wolverine is clearly the fan favorite and the golden boy of the X-Men franchise, but I don't really understand why our main character doesn't know about his past whatsoever, and that's really a strength of his character. And that being said, why should the audience then therefore know about everything about his character when our main character doesn't? It seems like a very pointless way to go about developing this character, because after this film, at least from what I remember, nothing in this movie is by any means brought up in a future installment. Not only because this film is trash, but just because in this events of this movie, anything in this movie that happens doesn't really make a lot of sense, except for in Deadpool when they poke fun at how trash this film is. I think it's a pretty dumb way to do this character and this movie, because if you're going to have a character with amnesia, why go about explaining all this that happened to him unless you plan on bringing back all of his memories, which would be, again, a very dumb way to go about having a character with amnesia. I'm not going to give it too much brain thought. Clearly, this movie just didn't work and just wasn't that well thought out. This movie's very own existence is a very dumb thing. Now, that being said, the whole concept of X-Men Origins Wolverine may be stupid, but I have to admit, I had a lot of fun with this opening group here. It's fun, it's stupid, it's outlandish. This whole group and Wade Wilson and Will.i.am in there too is a whole lot of fun, and I definitely found myself enjoying and having a lot more fun with this movie than I thought I would. And after having this really cool fight scene with Deadpool and Will.i.am and this whole group and gang in this movie, I asked myself once again, is this film really that bad? I mean, this movie had a lot of potential. I definitely admit, in concept and in theory, this movie shouldn't really exist, but I have to admit, I had a lot of fun and there's something to explore here. This movie is definitely a very fast film, a lot of pacing issues, script issues, whatever, set design, costume design, but I would be lying if I said this movie didn't have a slight bit of potential to be a solid flick. This movie has a lot of the elements and ingredients to what I want in a great movie. It has solid action, pretty interesting, somewhat characters with some kind of nuance to them, and it has moments. It has those deep and dark moments, but it's too fast for me to really feel anything. I mean, we got introduced to Wolverine's love interest, and then about like 15-20 minutes later, she's dead. And then in the end of the movie, we find out that she's not really dead, which we'll get to in a second, but let's just keep going with this. Will.i.am is really cool in this role, and I really want Will.i.am to be in every single movie. I love him being this kind of mentor and kind of friend to Wolverine's character, and we should have gotten more of him. He should have been in this movie for longer, but he was busy making some banger music. But I don't think it's until Wolverine's love interest dies and then he goes to meet Will.i.am. After this point, that's when the movie just is just utter garbage. Up until this point, the movie for me was about a 6 out of 10, you know, 6, 7 out of 10. Not a great movie, but not a terrible movie so far. It does have questionable CGI up until this point, but It's not until we get to this moment in the movie and just forward. That's when this movie just goes completely off the rails. Something in the script must have just been thrown out or lost or burned, and they had to just rewrite the entire thing from memory. That's what it feels like. And it's just what we got at the very end was not it whatsoever. So I'm just kind of rapid fire here up into the third act. We do have this boxing scene between Wolverine and, what was his name? Flubber? I think that's the name of the other movie with Robin Williams. Never mind. His name's Flubber. That's what we're going to call him. So Wolverine fights Flubber, and then he wants information from Flubber about Stryker's Island. Then he sends them over to Gambit. And at this point, we also get some kind of introduction to Scott Summers in this movie. And Scott Summers in this movie is a younger version of Scott, and he is just kind of in high school, kind of chilling, kind of vibing. And for some reason, even though Scott Summers is not in his own movie, they find a way to violate him, and it's not even his own movie. He died in the last film, X-Men Last Stand, and they brought him back to life in this movie just to throw shots at him. Why? For what reason? He didn't even do anything wrong. He was dead, and he's a kid in this film, and you're still violating him for what reason? I'm not even a heavy fan of Scott Summers as Cyclops. I don't read comics. I don't know anything about this character's origin, but there's no reason for him to get this heavy of a violation for no reason. He got strays for no reason, a generational level stray towards Cyclops for no reason. Whatever, moving on, we get Gambit in this movie, who is a fun character. I really love Gambit, and this sequence and everything is pretty stupid and pretty dumb. Will.i.am dies very sadly and very stupidly. I think that they just talked to Will.i.am. He was like, yeah, I have songs to make. I can't really be in this movie for too long. So they had to really squeeze in Will.i.am's death, which looks like it was shot inside of a closet. And it's not too good. Looks pretty bad. And then we get Gambit's fight sequence, which everything up until this point in this section of the film feels like a very dumb video game movie. Everything's rushed. Everything's stupid. It feels like a video game that was just made because the studio wanted to have a game for the movie. Almost feels like when Transformers Dark of the Moon came out, and then there was like a Transformers video game on the Wii and like the Xbox 360. Why is that in my head? I have no idea, but that's what it kind of feels like. A movie that was made to make a video game to sell toys and merchandise because they needed to make money. But yeah, everything's dumb. Everything's just dumb action sequences with cutscenes and stage transitions and pretty watered down, but sometimes kind of cool fight scenes and weird needle drops and pretty cool settings. And just like that, after about an hour of lollygagging and goofing around, we're somehow in the third act of this movie. And as I was watching the film, I was like, wait, are we really in the third act right now? Is this the third act already? And I told myself, oh, we're actually in the third act, which is why I titled this section of the episode, oh, we're in the third act, because I'm still somehow shocked. Even after I watched this movie over a week ago, I rethink to myself, oh, we're in the third act. And I don't even know how we're in the third act of this episode when I barely even just started and we're somehow here. All right, so you know how bad this third act is. You know about Deadpool. You know about everything. So I'm just going to kind of rapid fire here and go into superlatives because I'm not going to give this movie enough of my brain time anymore. I got to go to bed. I got to go to work. I got to make a sandwich or something. I'm really just sad right now. This movie is so bad and so disappointing and such a waste of my time that I really get sad by having to log a film this low of stars and give it this much time and this much brain power. But whatever, let's keep on going through here. X-Men's love interest is in the movie. She died in the beginning of the film, and now she's back to life because they gave her a serum that stopped her heart to such a low rate that she was presumably dead for a short amount of time. That's not something that I wrote. That's not AI generated. It could have been, but this is 2009, a little bit before AI was a thing, so this is a real thing someone wrote in this movie. That's sad. And I wrote a little note here that I never want to turn off a movie really early because movies are really hard to make. They take a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money, and a lot of people put their blood, sweat, and tears into making a film. But if I had to turn off a movie early, it would be this movie or like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom or any other bad movie. But this one in particular is in like the top 10 of movies you can turn off early. And you have my vote that you can definitely turn off this film early because there's no reason to finishing this movie. I had to finish it because I had to make a podcast episode. But if you want to turn this movie off after like the first 5 seconds, go for it. So after that, we get that very dumb reveal. We get Deadpool with a little bit of an asterisk next to it because you know why this is bad to have Deadpool being portrayed like this. Deadpool being portrayed like this with his mouth sewn shut and swords coming out of his hands and having teleportation powers. Enough said, okay? Once again, I said in the beginning of the episode, I'll say it again, movies speak for themselves a lot of the time, okay? A lot of the time, films say everything they need to say with one single scene. So that being said, just go watch the final battle for X-Men Origins Wolverine, and you'll see exactly why Deadpool shouldn't be like this, and that'll be it. But right after that, the fighting scene with Deadpool, even though it's pretty dumb and pretty bad, I will say they kind of cooked here. It's kind of a cool scene, having them fight on top of the nuclear reactor with the laser eyes, with the teleportation, with Wolverine and Sabretooth fighting back to back with each other, all those cool combos. I gotta admit, they cooked here. They shouldn't have cooked this hard, but they cooked. The fighting scene is really cool. But right after that, somehow this fight scene is over within like 2 to 5 minutes. It's really a short fight scene, and Deadpool is dead, or he's not dead. He's somehow alive at the end of this film. Of course he is. But whatever, the fighting's cool. The ending feels hollow and dumb. Wolverine loses his memory in one of the most just dumb and tasteless, dissatisfying ways you can do it in any kind of iteration ever. And it feels hollow. It feels dumb. Charles Xavier shows up at the end of the movie. Charles Xavier somehow pops up out of nowhere. Charles, F you. I don't really like to swear on this show, but Charles, where were you this entire time? And he just hops out of a jet in the middle of nowhere, a very badly CGI'd forest, walking out of a jet. He walked into the scene somehow. How is he not paraplegic? I don't know. But he walks into the scene and he just asks him to come on the plane. And that's just stupid. Charles, I hate you. This movie's bad. That's just about it. I don't have anything else to say about this film. It's not good. But this movie is just really bad. And I don't want to say, oh, it came out a really long time ago. This movie can't really get that much hate. This movie came out in 2009, which is the same year as Inglourious Basterds, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Avatar, Up, Coraline. A lot of great movies came out this year, so there's no reason why this film is that bad. There's a lot of other movies that came out this year with a smaller budget that did a lot better, not only critically, but financially. And it makes me upset seeing a character this good and an actor this good, a crew that has a lot of really good talent inside of it, being just wasted in this just mediocre film. I was pretty upset when they decided to make Wolverine the real centerpiece of that opening X-Men trilogy, but if you're gonna do that and give him his own solo movie first, at least cook a little bit. I mean, you did a tiny bit, and I know that they're gonna cook later on with the Wolverine and Logan, and we're also getting Deadpool and Wolverine later this year, so I can't be too mad at them, but they really just screwed up here really terribly. Somehow they bounce back incredibly with Logan, and also The Wolverine is a really great film. A lot of people don't really know about that. Wolverine is a solid flick as well. But this one is really special because movies really usually aren't this bad, and aren't this bad for a lot of different reasons, because it's hard to make a movie, but it's hard to make a movie this bad. It's almost impressive to make a film this bad, and it takes a different kind of skill to do it this badly. But that's enough. Enough ranting, enough bickering. This film's bad, we already know it. But it's time for superlatives. Superlatives, if you don't know about it, we go through a lot of our awards here for the show and for the movie itself, and also our MVP will be awarded at the very end of the episode. Overall, a time you don't want to miss here in the podcast episode, the most fun you will have, even though you just watched X-Men Origins Wolverine, I try to make it a little bit more fun, a little bit better for you. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our superlatives.
You're right in there.
And if you thought they could only ruin Wolverine, wait until you see what they did with Deadpool. The Merc with a Mouth gets his mouth removed and trades his cool costume for 8-minute abs and magic eyeshadow. Oh, and he also gets a grab bag of random mutant powers that Deadpool never had. Are we sure Brett Ratner didn't direct this?
Kicking us off with superlatives, what is the best scene in the movie? What is the scene sealer for X-Men Origins Wolverine? And it's definitely the opening of the film. I think the opening of the movie, specifically the opening montage of the film, does so much without doing a lot whatsoever. The opening montage is about, like, what, 2, 3, 5 minutes, and it's done really well, really cool editing, really cool costume design, really fun action, and it shows a lot, which I really respect. This movie overall was a miss, but they definitely cooked in the opening, I can't lie to them. My favorite quote in the opening is from Victor Creed when he tells Logan, "Nobody gets to kill you but me," in the final act of the movie. Now, once again, I just dragged this film for a pretty long time, but I have to admit, for many years since I was a little boy, that quote has been one of my favorite quotes in all of film. For some reason, it stuck with me the most. I quote that at least like monthly, "No one gets to kill you but me," and have a lot of conversations, and it's just really cool. It's really just a cool line from Victor Creed, and he should not have been just shut out of this entire franchise. Sabretooth was, I think, one of the best parts of the entire film, and he was just really robbed from doing an incredible job. I would have loved to see Victor Creed and just him and that character inside of Logan and the Wolverine. He fits so well in this world and with this character, with Hugh Jackman. He's just so good. I've been giving a lot of love to Pyro in this last couple episodes, but I think that if I want to see anyone inside of Deadpool and Wolverine, it's definitely Victor Creed, because he was really robbed of doing an incredible job in the future subsequent films. If I had to make one small change to this movie, what would it be? And it's pretty simple, not so simple, but just as simple as keeping Will.i.am in this movie and inside this universe. Will.i.am, I'm not even such a big fan of his music, but this character and just Will.i.am playing this character is so cool. He has such a magnificent aura and just aesthetic to this role and to this world that only he can do this good. Definitely Will.i.am and Victor Creed are just two of the better characters in this film that I didn't think I would love this much, but I ended up loving them really that much. What's some double trouble? What's a good double feature for X-Men Origins Wolverine? I recommend going into Spider-Man 3 and then X-Men Origins Wolverine. I could definitely see Billy Maguire showing up inside this film. You know, it could work. It would be a little weird, but why not have symbiote Spider-Man pop up inside of X-Men Origins Wolverine? Go ahead, watch Spider-Man 3, then X-Men Origins Wolverine. Two pretty bad films, but you're going to watch Spider-Man 3 thinking, this is so terrible, it can't get any worse from here. You're going to watch this movie and then you're going to see it does get worse from here. And that worse from here is X-Men Origins Wolverine. If X-Men Origins Wolverine was a song, what would it be? It's clearly One Last Breath from Creed. I know a lot of these movies in this series have been Creed and early 2000s songs, but there's not much else I can do with just a pretty standard and just pretty meh lineup of movies. As we go into First Class and the Wolverine, the songs are going to get a lot cooler, I promise you, because at that point, we're breaking into the 2010s era of film, which is just really chef's kiss moi. But, you know, so far, it's been pretty mediocre, but as we go into First Class, we're cooking a bit. That's all I'm going to say is that we're cooking a little bit. Now it's time for our Buzz from the Backlot segment. Let's say you're at a dinner party or you don't really know what to say in a conversation. You need film fun facts to really just elevate your conversation skills. You may be trying to engage, or you may be on a first date, trying to meet your spouse, trying to talk to that one girl, but you don't know what to say, which is exactly what film fun facts are for. Really want you to edge film fun facts into every single conversation to build up your lifestyle. And that's exactly what Buzz from the Backlot does for you. Today we have three different fun facts, all three of them pretty cool, pretty interesting, and I definitely had a fun time with these. For our first fun fact, Hugh Jackman expressed disappointment over this movie, admitting that it fell short of his expectations and did not do the Wolverine character justice. Subsequently, he and the rest of the crew sought to do a better job with the Wolverine 2013. And the Wolverine 2013, I haven't seen in a little bit. I'm going to watch it here in a couple weeks here. But the Wolverine, I remember being a really solid movie. It's not incredible by any means. It's not like it's Logan or First Class or Days of Future Past, but the Wolverine I still really enjoyed. At first, I was really more so hyped to rewatch First Class, but now I really want to dive into the Wolverine again. Our second fun fact is, for the scenes where Wolverine was getting infused with the adamantium, Hugh Jackman effectively spent 2 days underwater. And I'm definitely not an actor, but I wouldn't spend 2 days for a movie that is this nothing. And our final fun fact is a Deadpool movie had been in the works since 2004, with David S. Goyer intended as the director and starring Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Reynolds had always dreamed of playing Deadpool, and when he heard that the character had been placed in this script, he immediately approached the filmmakers for the role. Deadpool will later get his own solo movie with Deadpool 2016. We already talked about Deadpool 2016 inside of its own episode, and I definitely really enjoy that movie on rewatch. I love that Ryan Reynolds finally got his shot. He finally got his redemption with that role and with that character after giving so much to it, just behind the scenes, really wanting this film to happen and seeing his dedication to that, seeing the outcome, it means so much. That Deadpool 2016 episode should be linked inside the show notes. If it's not, we'll get someone on that to get it down there. So that is our Buzz from the Backlot for this week. A pretty cool lineup of fun facts there, but it's time for our MVP category, the biggest award of the night and the biggest award in film history. The Quarter Cinema MVP is the most prestigious thing to ever exist on planet Earth. And for the Quarter Cinema MVP award for X-Men Origins Wolverine, we have 5 nominees. All 5 of these nominees are incredibly talented, and X-Men Origins Wolverine would not be what it is without our MVP, and the MVP really elevates this movie. For our 5 nominees, we have 1, Ryan Reynolds with his role as Deadpool in this movie. Definitely not really good, but that opening sequence with Ryan Reynolds is maybe one of his best performances in his entire career. Our second nominee is Taylor Kitsch as Gambit, a character who I didn't really think I loved, but him in this role really shows that we are long overdue for an official and much better Gambit outing with maybe the MCU or whether it's Elseworlds. We need a true interpretation of Gambit. Once again, I have not been watching that new X-Men animated show, but I heard they did him justice in that show too. But in this movie, Gambit is really cool. I know that he's not in this film, and that movie has definitely been in the gutter for a long time, but I would love to see Channing Tatum in the role of Gambit. I don't think it would happen now, but back in like 2014, 2016, a Gambit film was like pretty close to happening, and I don't know what happened to it. Hopefully in Deadpool and Wolverine that's going to happen, but for now, all we have is Taylor Kitsch, which did an incredible job in this movie. For our third nominee, I have Will.i.am. I didn't think I would love him this much, but I did, and he was really good. For our fourth nominee, we have Liev Schreiber as Victor Creed and also Sabretooth in this movie, who did an incredible job with really nothing to go for him except a pretty long cloak, a buzz cut, and some claws. He cooked here. He really did cook here. He just has such an incredible job and such an incredible acting skills to really elevate this character and this film from being a pretty terrible movie to a not good movie. A slight bump here just because of one character. And our final nominee is the man himself, the GOAT, the legend Hugh Jackman, who obviously, for many reasons, deserved a nomination. Not only because he's the main character, but because this role and this movie, I don't see happening without him. There's a reason that they haven't passed on the torch of Wolverine yet, and it's because Hugh Jackman is just so good. He left a staple on this character and this world that really just made it just come alive and just leap off the screen towards me. And with all that egregious yapping out of the way, our final winner for the MVP for X-Men Origins Wolverine is none other than the GOAT himself, Hugh Jackman, a very much needed and much deserved award. This is his third win with the Quarter Cinema MVP, officially winning the most MVP awards in Quarter Cinema history. He was about to come in. I don't know what happened to him. I think he got lost inside of our facility. Someone's going to try to find him, but we got to wrap this episode up. He will probably be giving us good messages, but he's somewhere inside of our Quarter Cinema facility right now, running around doing something. But, you know, he definitely is very thankful for this award. He got the last two. We're going to try to hand him this third one before he runs out of here. But thank you, Hugh Jackman, for this performance and this movie. Even though it's not that good, this movie means a lot to me. And that being said, this film does mean a lot to me, but my final score for this film is an F, a very modest and very generous F. I could have gone lower. I could have gone F minus, but this is already my lowest rated film of the entire year. And one of my lowest rated films really ever. I don't really rank movies this low too much, but this movie is a film that definitely deserves a low score because it's just really not it. It's not doing it at all. And as we close out of here, I have one more big question for you, dear listener, which is, should the torch of Wolverine be passed on after Deadpool and Wolverine? Now, we don't really know right now. I don't see Hugh Jackman suiting up after this movie that's coming out in July, but I think if you're going to work this hard to get Wolverine back and Wolverine inside the MCU with that comic book accurate suit, you're going to have him in at least like what, two or three more films here? Now, once again, I don't know how committed Hugh Jackman is to this role to play it for another like 5-6 years, and he's like getting pretty old now, so I don't see him doing all those action stuff, but I think it could happen. I think that it would be beneficial for them to keep him, but also beneficial for them to just recast him. I mean, we have the incorporation of the multiverse now, so now anyone can be the Wolverine. Maybe I'm just a version of Logan Wolverine that isn't really buff, but just does a podcast inside of a very not-so-science fiction Earth. That would be a really scary nightmare, but, you know, it could be the truth. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get you guys out of here. That's enough yapping for me. If you enjoyed this episode, review it, share it. Let me know how I'm doing. I really want to know if this show is as good as it can be. So leave me a review. I want to know. The next episode in this series will be X-Men First Class, which is one that I'm excited for. I've been anticipating this movie for a pretty long time. I haven't watched it yet. Haven't written notes on it yet, but I'm going to get on that pretty soon. Stay tuned these next couple weeks. We have some pretty big episodes coming out. Next week is going to be May the 4th, which means a Star Wars ranked episode is going to be long overdue for this podcast. We're going to be doing a Ryan Gosling ranked episode in preparation for Fall Guy next week. Some early reviews for Fall Guy says it's not that good, but any chance I have to make a Ryan Gosling ranked episode, I'm going to take it and run with it. And also, the next movie that we're going to be doing a review on that's a non-X-Men film will be Over the Hedge, which is a celebration of 1 year of me doing this podcast. And whether you've been listening to the show for a pretty long time or you just hopped on the bandwagon just recently with this X-Men series, I want to say thank you because, I mean, you mean a lot to me. Whether you listen to one episode or 10 episodes, you mean a lot to me. You make the show really be what it is. You keep the lights on, you keep the fridge full, you keep my bank account full by just how much you listen to the show. So thank you for that. I really appreciate you more than I know. Here's to like 3 more years of podcasting. If I can make it to even one more month of podcasting, we'll see. But here's to 3 more years. Until next time, stay swagged out, stay cool, watch more movies. And as always, I'm your host, Logan, and I'll see you guys in the movies.